Elevator Blog. I'm your host, Ted Seaman. Today, we have another in a series of interviews with the teams that are planning on competing in this year's second annual Space Elevator Games. These games, part of NASA's Centennial Challenge, will be held in Las Cruces, New Mexico on October 20th and 21st. For more information about the competition, visit their official website at www.elevator2010.org. These games are being held in conjunction with this year's XPRIZE Cup. For more information about this event and to purchase tickets for all of the XPRIZE Cup events, including the Space Elevator Games, visit their website at www.xprizecup.com. Today we are talking with Alan Adamer and Kevin Estravillo from team number 158, Punkworks. Punkworks is one of 20 teams competing in this year's Climber Power Beaming event and are one of this year's first-time entrants. Hello, Alan and Kevin, and welcome to the Space Elevator Blog.
Hi. Hi, Ted. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. My name's Kevin Estravillo.
First of all, I think I've got to give you guys the early award for most or best creativity with your team being named Punkworks, you know, the play on Lockheed Skunkworks, and with a quote on your website saying that our climber's name is Jack and we're building a better beanstalk, and with your punk logo. Is there one guy in your team that comes up with this stuff, or is it the result of a Friday beer bash, or where do you guys come up with this stuff? It's great.
We just bounce it off each other back and forth. It all just a play on words. Originally, Punkworks was a team that I was involved with back in my University of Toronto days. We had a design team back then, and we were building a remote dexterous manipulator. It was the course was instructed by the people at MDA of Robotics, the guys who made the Canadarm.
Right.
So yeah, we learned quite a bit about space systems design from that course. This is a tremendous experience for me as a engineer. Like, this is like engineering that I dreamed of doing coming out of school. Like, I'm touching everything from like nuts and bolts to project management to managing electrical systems, like just everything, totally cross-cutting concerns, detail, everything all at once. And sometimes it can be unmanageable. Sometimes it's a lot of stress, but I think it's all worth it in the end. So that's why we're going towards that.
And the Jack and the Beamstock, building a better Beamstock, I mean, if you get a group of people together who are like-minded and have the same passion for space and for advancing space technology, it's just complete synergy. And it was just a bunch of us. It was maybe our second meeting or so, and we were just talking out loud, thinking out loud, and it was just building upon each other. And then eventually Jack came out of it, and then we're like, yeah, Jack and the Beanstalk, and we're like, Jack building a better Beanstalk. It was just so obvious. It was like a moment of clarity, a bell of truth where it just said, that's what we're going to name it.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. The recent article about your team and the games in the Toronto Star, which you kindly sent me, said that you're going to be using microwaves to power your climber. Is this still the plan?
Yep, that's the plan going in right now. We have
how many microwave ovens have you destroyed in the process?
Well, we had to take a lot of donations, and about two or three of them conked out on us without even us plugging it in. I managed to donate mine. I needed a new microwave anyway, so we decided to use mine because I know it works.
Well, what a great reason to get a new microwave!
Exactly, and then we just punched a hole in it. And we blasted it, made sure we had the necessary safety precautions with the microwave detector, and we just did some science.
Yeah, I hope nobody's sterile because of this right now.
No, we made sure we had bottles of water.
All the little Alan and Kevins are in good position.
We had all the bottles of water strategically placed.
Safety is something that we keep in mind at all times. I mean, we're always, when we're machining stuff, we have the goggles and our masks on. When we're doing aluminum, cutting pieces of wood, or dealing with the microwave equipment, we have the detector, Simpson unit that picks up the sensors. We basically have to keep it below Health Code 6 regulation. That's in Canada, and in the U.S. there's a comparable rule, so something like 1 milliwatt per centimeter squared. That's what we're also going to be testing for on our transmitter. When we're running the thing at full power, we want to make sure all contestants stay under that limit. Secondly, we have graphite absorbers that are generously donated to us. And we're going to be using that in our, as another countermeasure. We're going to strategically place that in places where there will be a lot of radiation. And also, it's just about being smart with microwaves. So, I mean, if you're aiming it at something, I mean, you just can't see it. That's the only thing. It's like light. It behaves similar to light, except you just can't see it. So there'll be reflections, there'll be absorptions, and transmissions.
What can you tell us without giving away any secrets about your climber?
We should have thought about this before the telecon, okay.
No, it's better to catch you off guard this way.
Well, the climber is, I mean, fits in about a 1 meter cubic area right now. I mean, we're chassis made of a high strength carbon fiber material, yet very economically priced. And we're going to leave that as a surprise until we get some video in there, what this top secret material is about. You guys will figure it out eventually.
I mean, our whole design was based on the ratio that they're using to determine who the winner is, which is the mass of the payload multiplied by velocity divided by mass of the climber. So obviously we went super light for the mass of the climber. I mean, we could have went out there and grabbed a wheelchair, flipped it on its side, attached some rollers and a motor, and put a rectenna on it, and we're done. But, of course, the mass of the climber would be high, which would take the ratio much lower. So we went lightweight, and we're going to try to get some speed by using microwaves, by getting more power, and hopefully that maximizes our ratio to win it.
So is Canadian Tire specializing in your lightweight equipment?
Absolutely. We're over there every day. We're working here, and we tend to get a lot of good deals on parts there and tools. So we're always there picking up things that we forgot or need just in a given moment.
So I imagine they know you guys pretty well now.
Yeah, they know us pretty well. We usually bust in their chops about things we buy and then go to return back because it's too big or too small. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, they've been patient with us.
I'm sure you guys have had some very odd requests of them, things that they don't see very often.
Well, a lot of the stuff we've custom made, so there's a lot of other suppliers out there and other machine shops that are thinking, what the heck are you guys asking for this for? But after they find out what we're doing, then they're like, you know what? That's kind of cool. I could do it for real cheap. I could do it for free. So that is you just have to find a similar interest with suppliers, because everyone can be passionate about space. And you just got to find the right people, and they can do good things for you.
Well, that's great.
Climber right now, the guy Ron and Mechanical, Charles Darrow, he's an avid space enthusiast. He's a member of the Royal Astronomical Society in Toronto, so he was pretty generous with his donation of rod-ins for our chassis. So, and the list goes on. I mean, there's quite a few people that have donated machine shop. Machine shop time is ramp components, done at the airport, and it really helped us out. Who else has stepped up, Kev? Down the street.
J.P. Morgan, Rock Technology.
J.P. Morgan, that's J. Morgan. J. Morgan Scrap Metal. Yeah, so right next door to us is a scrap metal shop. So all we have to do is turn the corner. Hey, you got some aluminum stock?
And our own companies, too. Atlantis gave some money. We got Kara Toronto Flight Kitchen gave some rollers. So it's really, a lot of people have the same interest. It's just, you just have to ask the question.
What can we do to help? That's the question you just got to answer. Find someone and willing to help, because they're out there.
How are you guys testing your climber? Do you have a test rig that you've set up or are going to set up?
That's a good question. Originally, way back at the beginning, I was envisioning a dyno-based, like a dynamometer-based testing system, which involves like rollers on either ends of the of a structure, like some sort of suspended structure, and then you just run the climber along the rollers, and then it's just going to counter-rotate. So that way you can test statically a dynamic situation. So you can run your climber for more than a minute and see how well it's going to do for the full distance that we're going to climb.
Right.
However, we nixed that idea because the alignment of the dynamometer is very sensitive. So we took our tether and we broke the splice, and we're just going with a static setup.
So we're just climbing at 4 meters at a time.
So when you get to Las Cruces, it'll be your first whack at trying to do something for 50 meters or 60 meters.
No, we intend to do something 50 meters here.
We're doing horizontal passes with the microwave, so that's not really... That doesn't mean, like, all we care about is if we can get the juice out that far, if we can send the signal that far out, that's the important part.
Right.
The rest is mechanical, and, I mean, the mechanical at 0 meters is the same as the mechanical at 60 meters.
Except for gravity, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, we round up to 10 meters per second squared, so we're working on that assumption. Which gets back to my idea, like, another interesting point is, one of the important design drivers that came out right from the beginning, way back in November, is scalability to space. Like, one of the biggest design drivers. So whatever is working at this altitude has to be working at the full distance. So it's, like, that's the analysis that we did. So we're always trying to work towards that. I mean, there are designs you can do, like a propeller-based design that can get you up, but it's not scalable because you're limited to the density of your atmosphere. Also, any of the actuators that we're using, like solenoid-based, I mean, you're using an air supply. So compressed air is also not scalable. So we got to figure out ways to do things that are completely scalable. And I think we're doing that with a lot of simple mechanical solutions to things that we can't really discuss in detail.
I understand. So you guys, were you one of the teams that was glad that the competition was postponed from August to October, or did it mess up with, like, your school schedules or anything?
No, we were glad it was moved. We have to be honest about that. Having an August deadline, we would have been going crazy around July time.
Yeah, I think so. We would have gone out there with some copper tubing, and it'll just fallen all apart. Now we're going to have something assemblable to send out there.
You guys like your team chances this year? You think you're going to make a respectable run?
I think the Canadian teams are going to take at least the top four.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, Canada.
Well, just make sure you bring enough beer for good Canadian beer for everybody to celebrate with. You'll have some very jealous American teams here.
We're bringing the good stuff. None of the swill we sell you guys.
What made you guys decide to get into the space elevator games? I mean, did you read an article and say, hey, that's cool, or did one of your teammates be on one of the teams last year, or what got you interested in this?
The initial spark came at the International Lunar Conference 2005, back in October of last year.
Yes.
A guy named Ken Davidian, who was a contractor for NASA, gave a presentation announcing all these centennial challenges. And one of them that piqued my interest was the space elevator, because That was the only contest that actually dealt with space launch technology, and I think that's the biggest bottleneck right now to access to space for the common everyday person. So I figured that was the biggest challenge to grab hold of. I mean, other people might be interested in the dexterous glove or the moon rocks mining one or the mining extraction, oxygen extraction, but I was primarily interested in space elevator because it allowed me to fulfill my dreams of going into space, as well as
it has the biggest impact.
Yes, definitely biggest bang for your buck.
So did you get this team started, Alan, and recruit everybody, or were there a bunch of you that went to this conference, or what?
Well, it was just me. I was there. It just started off from that, and then at the time, Kevin was. We were doing a little alumni get together at the time with our university grads from undergrad. And he just latched on. He was interested in this too, and getting back into engineering one way or another. Because, I mean, we're starting to distance ourselves from engineering, true engineering, in my opinion, from our jobs and our careers.
Yeah, there's a lot.
We've been out of school, what, 5 years, Jeff?
There's an aerospace engineer is a different breed of engineer. Where when we were in school in '99. People were flocking to computer engineering just because that's where the boom industry was.
Does the name Nortel come to mind?
Absolutely.
And we had our aerospace engineers. We were the kind of people who would do that stuff for free because we just loved doing it. But then you graduate, you get into the real world, and you're like, man, really, there isn't a lot of opportunities out there for aerospace engineers. So then you kind of settle. Of course, hopefully you're lucky, and you settle for something that you also have a passion about. But the aerospace industry is just harder to crack into. So for most of the people out there, you give them an opportunity to go back to what they love to do, they're going to jump at it. That's what happened with me. I'm in finance right now. That's my full-time job, but my passion is aerospace. So my question to everybody is, if money were no object, what would you be doing? All of our answers would be doing punk works, creating a space elevator.
Well, I love that dedication. So I've talked to Alan, and I've talked to Kevin. Who else is on your team?
Erwin's our Rectena guy. We had Dan Fudge, who was working for MD Robotics, and he got called off to Florida, so he had to bail.
Yeah, something called the space shuttle had a higher priority. Wouldn't you believe it?
We had our lone girl was Sarah Clark, who was still in school, and she got a job out of town in Ottawa, so she had to leave us. Erwin, his cousin.
Erwin, Lynn, Brian, Chow, yeah. So there's a few of them that...
We have Nick.
Nick Bolitbrook, yeah, and keep going. Yeah, Tony Facciolo. Everybody's coming in. Yeah, quite a few people. Then we have a new guy that came in for public relations, Amon. And he's also put a lot of pressure on our team. Everybody's going to be seeing what we're doing. So I think he's doing a great job at public relations.
Yeah, we'll be on, like, local network news. We'll be on the Discovery Channel. So he's really pushing us by applying pressure within the public eye.
So tell me about your team website. I've gone through it, and, you know, I love the pictures on there, and everything else that you've got on, it's well done.
So whatever free time we have in between sleep, food, and day job and this, we devote to the website.
And at the very least, whenever we approach people or all the people that we know, we're like, just check out www.punkworks.ca, and the very least you can do is click on the Google AdSense so Google can pay us 15 cents a pop.
So any final thoughts you guys want to share? You guys are obviously pretty passionate about what you do.
The most important thing is we're not there yet. Financially, we're in a bind.
Let's put it this way. The Skunk Works had a few zeros more than we did in their budget.
So, I mean, if anyone's reading this or hearing it or whatever, like, at least contact us via email or click on the Google AdSense at least to give 15 cents. But any help is appreciated.
We're actually also talking about collaborating on the microwave transmitter front. So if there's any teams out there that are using microwave equipment that are listening to this message, you can shoot us an email and we can talk about it further.
Right.
Yeah, the actual equipment and infrastructure is, like, pretty hard to come by. So we can tell them what we got, and we can ask what you got.
Because I don't know if it's the Canadian within us or whether it's the passionate space cadet within us, but we're taking this competition more like a collaboration, and our biggest competitors are the skeptics out there who think it can't be done. So if any other teams are of the like mind where, you know what, as long as someone wins it, we all win, then they need to contact us because we all want to work together.
It's my understanding that that's actually what happened at the games last year, especially the teams that had the Stirling engines. You know, one team had a better engine, one team had a better reflector, you know, and they just kind of put their pieces together and came up with the best unit that they could.
Exactly, and that's what this is all about. I mean, it's about just a whole bunch of like-minded, passionate individuals getting together and getting something done.
How many of your team is going out there?
We got about 7 people signed up, and we definitely need at least 3 or 4 people for the pit crew, and other people will probably be around for general help.
Well, that's a pretty decent crowd.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, a couple of people from the local news and media are coming. Like, as we mentioned, the Space Network wants to follow us there. Our contact at the Toronto Star is going to be coming down, so that's good news.
Daily Planet of Discovery is thinking about coming down. So we're going to have a whole contingent. Yeah, and I think that was a brilliant move by Space, where just to combine all of the X-Cup prize, combine all the space events into one weekend, I mean, like we said, we're all of the like mind, and the skeptics are our biggest competitors. So the bigger the event in space, get them all in one weekend, the more bang we're going to have, the more impact.
Alan and Kevin, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. I wish you and your team the best of luck this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the competition. And for all of you listening out there, please be sure to visit the Punkworks website at www.punkworks.ca. And you can visit us at the Space Elevator blog at www.spaceelevatorblog.com, where you can always get the latest space elevator news. So long, everybody.